This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. As soon as Barack Obama won the Democratic nomination, it became inevitable that we would talk more about race in this election than ever before. Some hoped for a national dialogue on an issue that's been central to the American experience. Some hoped the talk would be post-racial, the phase after slavery, Jim Crow, and civil rights. Some worried that the campaign might descend into race baiting. With just a few days left, it's probable that whatever is going to be said and done on this issue by the campaigns, their surrogates, and supporters has already been said and done. And the same with the conversations that we've had on the subway, in the office, at the dinner table, and here on the radio. So how has race played out in this extraordinary year? How did the campaigns use the issue? What effect might that have on Tuesday? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also tell us your story on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Later in the program, we'll get an update on the alleged skinhead plot against Barack Obama, but first, race and the presidential election. And we begin with Mayor Michael Coleman, the mayor of Columbus, Ohio, who's opined on race and this election for Politico.com. He joins us from the studios of Ohio Public Radio at the Ohio State House. And Mayor Coleman, very good of you to join us today.
Good to be here. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And how do you think that race has played out in this campaign?
Well, I think race has been a factor. Barack will be the first African-American president in the history of our country. So race has been a factor in this election. It's probably more of a factor for the older voter and less of a factor for the younger voter. But it has played a factor, and I think that what's going to happen is that this election, the election of Barack, and I do believe he will be elected.
We got that, yeah.
that he and this country will overcome the issues of race. And that's one of the good things about this election is that we are overcoming the race factor in this country as a result of Barack's election. Although race will continue to play a factor even after he is elected.
Do you think the campaigns have used the issue of race?
I think there has been, first of all, when Barack in the Democratic primaries had to overcome race, even with the Democrats.
Well, that was when the Reverend Wright issue came up.
Well, not just Reverend Wright, but other things as well. I don't want to...
Are you talking about some of the comments that President Clinton made in South Carolina?
Some of the comments of Geraldine Ferraro, other things that we've heard over a period of time. And so Barack has overcome the issue of race even among the Democrats. Now among a race between John McCain and Barack, I do give John McCain credit, personal credit, for his ability to avoid that issue himself. And he's been very skillful in avoiding it, talking about it himself. And I remember on one occasion during a rally when someone from the audience said, hey, Barack's a Muslim, and it kind of implied some things that had some racial overtones to it. And John McCain said, Barack is a great American. Mm-hmm. We just disagree. And these issues shouldn't even play in our election. Now, having said that, I do think that the folks around John McCain used some code words, I think, that frankly display some racial insensitivities.
Code words such as?
Risky. I hear commercial after commercial calling Barack Obama a risky candidate. Now, I'm the first African-American mayor for the city of Columbus, and I can remember when I ran in 1999, the use of the term risky when I ran is similar to what I'm hearing now with Barack Obama.
And while
that's not a direct, frontal assault on the issue of race, it does underlie some underpinnings like getting those thoughts, people thinking about it privately. What does that mean? Risky. And things, like Sarah Palin has suggested that he doesn't love America as much as she does.
Yeah, yeah.
And those kind of comments, they have, although they're not direct frontal race statements, racial statements, there are some underpinnings there that are bothersome.
And finally, do you think that this is going to be a major factor come Tuesday?
No. I think that this country, while race has been an issue, it will continue to be an issue, but this country is overcoming the issue of race, really, no matter what happens come Election Day. I do believe Barack will win, but no matter what happens, I think this country is, especially among the younger voters. I mean, among younger voters, if it's in the top 10 list of issues, I would be surprised. Many of them, it's not an issue at all. Hmm. Among the older voters, it has been an issue. And as an African-American myself, I'm very, very proud of the fact that Barack is at this point and as an African-American. I'm very, very proud of that. But that's not the only reason. Barack has transcended race by talking about the issues that people care about, the economy, Iraq. And that's what's made him so effective. He's talking about people's pocketbooks, people's future. And when you talk about those things, you eliminate this issue of race. And he's done a very good job of saying, look, this is not about being black or white. This is about being an American.
Well, we know you're also about being mayor of Columbus. We know you're busy. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Mayor Michael Coleman of Columbus, Ohio, joining us from the studios of Ohio Public Radio at the Ohio State House there in his city. Another of those who opined for Politico was Gary Bauer. Gary Bauer is the chairman of the Campaign for Working Families. He joins us now from his office in Arlington, Virginia. Nice to have you back on the program today.
Great to be with you.
And how do you think race has played out as an issue in this campaign?
Well, obviously my perspective is going to be a little bit different than the mayor's.
Why we asked you on.
Yes. I think, first of all, race has been a tremendous advantage for Barack Obama. First in the Democratic primaries, where you had a competition essentially between two liberal candidates, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. There really weren't that many differences between them. And yet black voters voted overwhelmingly in almost the kind of numbers you would see in an election in Eastern Europe before the fall of communism, that is by margins like 97-98% for Barack Obama. Obviously, race played a major role in that degree of support for one liberal over another. I think the other way it's been an advantage is because it's been used by Senator Obama's campaign in a way that I think the mayor just used it when he said that running ads calling Barack Obama's election risky was somehow a racial attack. I venture to say that any candidate running for president who had an opponent that only had a few years of experience on the national scene at a time when we're at war, when there's other severe challenges facing the country, that any candidate would have run ads against that insurgent candidate, whether they were white, Hispanic, black, whatever race they were, and say, this is a risky candidate. We don't really know enough about his ability to deal with a crisis.
We do have a history of code words in elections in this country.
Well, I can think of some, but we're talking about this race.
Okay.
And when you say that using the word risky is a racial code word, that seems bizarre to me. Just a few weeks ago, there were suggestions made that because Sarah Palin mocked Barack Obama's work as a community organizer, saying that it might be a very noble thing to do, but you don't actually have to make any major decisions. You don't manage many people the way a governor does. That was called racism because many community organizers are black. So I think that the charge of racism has been used to try to silence debate, and I think that's a very bad thing for all Americans, regardless of their race.
The McCain campaign declined to use the Reverend Wright issue, if you want to call it that, at all on his instructions and against the advice of someone in his campaign, evidently including Sarah Palin.
He did, and I think that was a mistake. I was just recalling as I got ready to go on the show, I went back and started looking through some of Reverend Wright's sermons again. Now, Barack Obama attended that church for 20 years with his family, and what everyone thinks about Barack Obama, you cannot say that Reverend Wright wants to transcend race. Quite the contrary. On the Sunday after 9/11, Reverend Wright said, "White America got their wake-up call. White America and the Western world came to realize people of color had not gone away, faded into woodwork, or just disappeared as the great white West kept on its merry way." So in other words, even a tragedy, a horrible event like 9/11 by Reverend Wright was presented through a racial lens that somehow this was punishment for white racism.
Mm-hmm. We just have a few seconds left with you, but I wanted to ask you briefly, do you think this is going to play a factor on Tuesday?
I think it will play, I think we know it will be a positive factor in the inner cities of America where there will be the largest turnout of black votes in the history of the country. We don't know yet whether, and we may never know, whether race ends up being a factor in white voting areas. I tend to think it's more likely to be an issue of being far left that might affect Barack Obama's vote in areas that sometimes do vote Democrat but may not vote Democrat as heavily in this election.
Gary Bauer, as always, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
Gary Bauer, chairman of the Campaign for Working Families, with us today from his office in Arlington, Virginia. We're talking about how race has played out in the presidential campaign. Up next, what effect it may have in your decisions. Give us a call. How do you think it's played out? What's your experience been? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last night on CNN, Republican presidential candidate John McCain told Larry King there is racism in America, but he said it's a tiny minority. Quote, "I'm totally convinced that 99.44% of the American people are going to make a decision on who is best to lead this country." We're talking about the issue of race and the presidential campaign. How has it played out in your life this extraordinary year? Has this campaign changed the way you think about race with your family, your friends, at the office? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And joining us now is Dawn Turner Trice. She's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune and has been writing a blog at the Tribune website called Exploring Race. She's with us today from the studios of member station WBEZ in Chicago. And nice to have you back on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, is what you heard from both Mayor Coleman and from Gary Bauer typical of what people have been writing you about, what you've been seeing?
Well, I mean, we've heard from thousands and thousands of people since we started the forum in April. And what I've learned so far is that when we look at race, we tend to look at it from almost 30,000 feet in the air. And this year, we've been able to, on a national scale, look at it in a way that we are not so much clustering people and it's not so murky, but we've been able to take some fairly clear snapshots. And this is what I mean. For months, we were saying that Obama had to win over the working class white voter. And then we had to define that voter. And it became clear that maybe he had to win over white voters in maybe Appalachia. But that was not true of similar voters in, say, Oregon or Wisconsin. And for years, we've talked about the black voter, and that's been like the least nuanced of the voting blocks. Mm-hmm. We tend not to see the soccer mom as being in that group, or even the working class voter as being in that group. So I think that when we say that we've had a conversation, or we've been able to, I mean, this year specifically, we've been able to expose people to various to a different way of looking at the same issue, and I think that that's been great.
A conversation that is often under the surface repressed has been very much in the open.
Absolutely. I think that even if you look at the Obama infomercial last night, if you took a look at it, you saw, I think, two white families, one black family, and one Hispanic family. And what the argument that he's trying to make, I believe, is that clearly race defines us, but our interests also define us. And so there's been this discussion about, well, black people will only vote for black candidates. Well, black people, as well as every other group of people, tend to vote their interests. And if the economy is, I think this is going to be one election in which the economy is so dominant that, I mean, there will be some people who will not vote for Barack because of his race. But there will be some people who may not have in the beginning, but now they see green rather than brown, and that becomes the defining issue.
Here's an email from Ellen in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. One of the biggest problems I see in here is that while most white people understand that the people of color in the U.S. have been unfairly disadvantaged, they do not want to acknowledge that if that statement is true, it must also be true that whites have been unfairly advantaged. Since there is a myth about democracy and meritocracy in the U.S., this concept really is hard for many people to deal with honestly. So there is denial, and people fall back on anyone who tries hard can be successful in the U.S. without the reality that we still do not have a level playing field.
Absolutely. I think that one of the big components of racism is fear, and it's kind of the fear of the unknown, or fear that one group of people is going to take something from another group of people. And there is it's easier to kind of traffic in that pattern of thinking if you live in isolated enclaves or environments in which you don't have that type of exposure or discussions with people who don't look like you. And I think what's really important is that the U.S. census figures show that in 2042, we're going to become a majority-minority country, and we're going to be forced to live next door to each other, to talk to one another, and to have some discussions and really to get to some issues that really have been just kind of festering on the surface for years.
Let's see, we get a caller on the line. This is Jim, and Jim's calling us from San Francisco in California.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good afternoon where we are, Jim, but go ahead, please.
I take issue every time I hear someone say, I won't vote for a black man. The country will not vote for a black man. Well, it's not the country that won't vote. It's that individual that won't vote. And what I've done with people like this is ask them for one moment to remember that he's half black and half white. If you think about him as possibly half white, then listen to his message. And if you can hear his message, his race will not be of issue, is what I am saying to people.
And Dawn Turner Trice, we've seen a lot of that. It's not necessarily that I can't vote for him because I can't vote for an African American. It's I know somebody who is, or I've talked to somebody who is, or as Jim puts it, America may not be ready.
Well, there is a glasses half full side to the story, in that there are lots of, and I've heard from many, many white people who say that, you know, that they are definitely going to vote for Barack, in part because he is black, and because he is half black, and because of what that will mean for the country, and how the country may be cast even abroad. But I think that there is definitely a segment of people who will not vote for him, and race is a factor. But one of the things that has clearly come through over the last several months is that there is a huge number of white people, black people, Asian, I mean, people across the racial spectrum who are supporting his candidacy. And that's, I think that what's there is that there are a lot of us who are of a certain age who didn't think that we would see that within our lifetime.
I was just about to ask Jim that, given those conversations that he's had. Nevertheless, did he ever expect to live to see the day when, 5 days away from the election, at least, an African-American is favored to win the presidency?
You're asking me that question?
I am.
I am a white man, and the only thing I have ever seen of Obama is that he is presidential. His message in every way, shape, and form comes from a thinking, educated man. And I'm voting for him because of his platform and who he is, not for the color that he is.
Right. All right, Jim.
And that he is the correct person to lead this country out of what we have been in and suffered from for so many years. McCain is not.
Thank you very much for the call, Jim. Appreciate it.
And that's what I'm hearing from just many, many readers, a lot of our readers who say, you know, that race is not, they don't see, the color of skin, but they're voting for him because of his intellect and because of his policies, and they think that he's the right person. And I, unlike the mayor, I'm not certain that Barack is a shoo-in for, or Senator Obama is a shoo-in for on Tuesday. I think that anything can happen.
Let's get Harold on the line. Harold with us from Oakland in California.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I initially didn't see Senator Obama as a black man when he first started running, but since everybody brings that up, now all I see is a black man, and I'm kind of really bummed out by it.
When did the change happen, and why do you think it happened?
I think it happened probably about maybe 6 months ago, because everybody keeps bringing up the race issue. But initially, he just seemed like a qualified candidate to me, and I honestly didn't. I knew he was black, but it didn't register to me like there's this black candidate. But now, when I see him, I'm still very much supportive of him. But because everybody brings out race, that's what I see.
All right, Harold, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Don Turner-Trice, a lot of comparisons have been made to the election, the campaign, where John Kennedy, the first Catholic to be elected president, ran in 1960 and had to address the issue of his religion and whether he would be beholden to the Vatican and that sort of thing. People need to be reassured about that. I think that Irish Americans, maybe even some Republican Irish Americans, came out to vote for John Kennedy that year, and that may have made the difference. It was a very close election, as it turned out to be. Black Americans have been overwhelmingly, as Gary Bauer said, overwhelmingly supportive of Barack Obama.
Yes.
And in part, that's their issues, in part because African Americans have traditionally voted very heavily Democratic anyway.
Yes.
But nevertheless, there cannot be, we cannot overlook the fact of racial pride and ethnic pride.
Absolutely. And, Neil, I've heard people, again, readers and Chicagoans just say, young men who have said, young African-American men who have said that this is their first time ever voting because they hadn't felt that they had a stake in any election. And they're voting this time. And not because they believe that Senator Obama is going to, or President Obama would just turn everything over to the black community, but because they believe, they understand that often the media depictions that they see of young black men, they're so negative that it's such an uplift for them to have a person in a position where in such a national position where it's such a positive role model, and that's very important for those voters.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line, and let's go to Mark. And Mark's calling us from Boston.
Yes, hi. I've been trying to call here, and this is a historical moment. I'm from a 50s child, so I grew up when was white only in segregated places before, and the civil rights and everything like that. And I was just amazed how I think the United States has matured in looking at people. Maybe it's the young coup coming up who haven't been through that, but I think it's a little beyond that. And he seems like a fresh new start as far as in political arena is concerned. I am an independent voter, and I am voting for Barack Obama. And I think he is a freshman. Maybe he can reach across the aisles and get things done in the United States now. And the other thing is I wanted to mention is that every time I hear about his grandmother being sick, they always kind of stigmatize his white grandmother's sick. And, you know, I'm sure he doesn't look at that as somebody who raised him most of life, because it just reminds me when I would grow up in D.C. that my grandmother basically was white, too. Basically, she could look like it. She could pass for it. But I never looked at her that way. And it just, they keep reaffirming that. It keeps bothering me a little bit.
Mark, interesting, you mentioned the generational divide. Here's an email from the other side of the generational divide from Jenny. I'm a white 41-year-old woman from Texas. Barack Obama is the first presidential candidate since Jimmy Carter who seems someone like me. We don't share a look in common, but we share a life experience. We both have young children. We both care about educating those children. We both come from divorced homes. We both have parents who worried about paying the bills as they died from cancer. He seems so much more like me than President Bush, whose home is just a few miles from my own. And Dawn Turner Trice, that's the difference in racial outlooks and generational outlooks among young people is striking.
Absolutely. And I think that what we've learned over the last several months is that, again, people vote their interests. And it takes almost a transcendent type of thinking to be able to, as you're the person in the email, to be able to look at the person and see beyond the skin color, but to see that we have some things in common. And I think that was one of the themes of Barack's message early on, is that there are, and I don't want to sound like I'm plugging for Barack, but there are so many things that unite us and connect us, and that it's almost a smoke screen of skin color that gets in the way and stops us from seeing that.
And Mark, I think he has bridged that gap where people could relate to him as being a person, a man, and an interest, and finding interest in how they grew up. And basically, you know, how he came up is almost similar to my lifestyle in itself. The only thing, I'm not running for president, but he is. And I think that's a remarkable footnote in American history today.
And, Mark, I have to confess that I'm a geezer like you to identify a 41-year-old emailer as being on the other side of the generational divide. So thanks very much for the call. We appreciate
it.
We're talking about race and the presidential election. Our guest, Dawn Turner Trice, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get John on the line. John with us from Louisville in Kentucky.
Hi there.
Hi.
I agree with the caller before last who said that when Obama first came out, I'm 25 years old, and my generation, I think, is kind of a post-racial generation. It's not that we don't have, you know, observations and perceptions of people based on race, but when he first ran for the presidency, you know, my generation did not think of him as a racially charged candidate, or even a black candidate, really, in any way. But now that has been such a dominating part of the conversation, it's hard but to think of him that way, which I think is unfortunate. But I was watching Larry King, I think it was last week, and D.L. Hughley, Carlos Mencia, and Penn from Penn & Teller, three comedians, were on and talking about the impact of race on the election. And they said that they thought that if Barack Obama was elected, that they were talking about it in terms of comedy. But a lot of the taboos and what's permissible to say in terms of race would be taken away if Obama were to be elected. And I think that will be true for the larger society as well. A lot of white people will see this as sort of reparations for slavery and discrimination and Jim Crow and all those things, and it's possible that we'll have a much more open racial dialogue in this country if Obama is elected, and I think that is likely to be a good thing. There might be a tense kind of transition at first, but I think that we'll see what is permissible, and I'm not talking about, you know, racist comments, but just discussion of race, what a lot of people are afraid to talk about in open society today,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
will not be so closed if Obama is elected, and I think that'll ultimately be a good thing.
Dawn Turner Trice, I wonder, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that the discussion has already started, and I think it's a good thing if it just continues. A lot of times we say things in our homogenous groups that we wouldn't say outside of that group, because once you're pegged as a racist, it's almost hard to wiggle out of that dress or outfit. So, but I do think that it's very, very important to keep talking about it. Will it change everybody's mind or their hearts? No. But I think that there are those incremental steps that we make forward. We make some backward, but we continue. I'm an optimist, and so I think that we do move forward when we talk about it and keep the discussion open and honest, because we don't get anything when we're just, you know, we're talking around things as opposed to really directing the attention to the real problems.
John, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Here's an email we have from Helena, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, in Ariel, I'm not sure how to pronounce that either, in New Jersey. As an African-American woman over 60 years of age, I started the primary season as a John Edwards supporter. I came around to Obama because of his message and because he inspired his listeners. I became politically aware in the JFK election. I believe we need to be inspired again to solve the issues we face today. Having said this, I admit that I'm facing the possibility that I did not believe would happen in my lifetime, and that is both exciting and frightening. And the frightening part, a lot of people are writing about that too, Don Turner Trice.
Yes. It's, you know, one of the things that we have to say is that, I mean, this is, we often think of race.